Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to episode number 8 of the 5-Part Podcast, brought to you by Coronation and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com. I am Greg Mahochko, and joining me, as always, it seems to get later and later every week, but my good friend and fellow Husker fan and broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, Nebraska's undefeated, and that's all fine and dandy, but it's, again, about 11 o'clock, and we're starting to record. Why do you hate my sleep?
I'm perfectly fine. I don't know what the hell your problem is.
Yeah, but you were also telling me before we started recording, I polished off a liter of Mountain Dew, and then I made a 2-liter Mountain Dew, and then I made some coffee because I wanted coffee, and where do you find the energy? What time do you go to bed?
If I'm working, 1:32 a.m.
Okay.
And I usually get about 6:30 when the wife goes to work. And then I'll usually snooze till the kid wakes up like 8 o'clock or so. But I do kind of cheat a little bit, honest to goodness. I do admit this. When I lay Emerson down for a nap, if I'm not busy, I'll nap. I'll take like a cat nap.
A little power nap?
Yeah.
I went and put my son down.
I can't do it every day. I can't do it every day, but...
This is a true story. I went to put my son down, for bed tonight. I'd been holding him in his arm. I don't do a whole lot real well as a dad, and that's not like self-deprecating. It's just... first time dad syndrome. I don't know. I'm a little more nervous probably than I should be. And the fact that he's almost 10 months old, I'm still like, I'm going to break this kid. But one thing I'm really good at doing is getting him to fall asleep. So I'm holding him. The eyes do that, they close and they open a little bit and then they close. And I said, I got him. So I put him in his crib. I walk away. He sits up and smiles, and I said, shit.
Now, this is my thing, okay? I used to do that, and now I get to the point where they're kind of like loopy, but they're still awake. I put them to sleep then. I learned to lay Emerson down then, because maybe I'm lucky. And I fully admit this, I might be lucky, but at the same time, it's kind of like one of those things, once they start teaching themselves to go to sleep, you're going to be kind of pretty good.
No, so. I understand that completely. It's just for whatever reason.
Not all kids do that, so I fully admit that. That, again, if I'm lucky, I'm pretty sure I'm lucky on this, but...
He faked me out twice, and then we came down here and started watching the hockey game, the Blues game, and it was just a little after 9 o'clock. Again, I'm holding him, and this time he went down, stayed down, and... as I look at the monitor, he's still down. So
the Blues game didn't put him to sleep already.
No, do they do that? As of this recording, they're beating the Canucks 1-0.
Are they?
And they're undefeated. What about those North Stars?
The Stars won tonight, sir. They beat Nashville 2-1, and PK Subban can.
Yes, choke. But are they undefeated?
They're not.
My point exactly.
It won't matter.
And you know what's aggravating to me? This is unrelated to everything. As I look up, because I do have the Blues telecast on, although it's muted, so I'm not, and most of my attention is down, but I do look up and I see that from a car sales competition or car salesman standpoint, my nearest competition, the dealership that is our biggest competition, just has their, commercial during the Blues game. And it's like, man, I got to watch that. while I watch the Blues, and that sucks.
You know what's fun? You know what's fun? You can answer this question for me.
I could try.
Since you're a St. Louis guy, and a lot of people watch St. Louis stuff like the Cardinals and the stuff, some Fox Southwest, not Fox West, Southwest, Fox St. Louis.
Fox Sports Midwest, Midwest, yes, sir.
Cheap, is that just a total trash liquor chain or what?
Dirt cheap cigarettes, beer, and liquor. It is, I wouldn't call it, I wouldn't call it like a trash of, you know, chain. I mean, it's just like, I've been there. They've got a good selection and they got it cheap. I mean, cheaper than most of their competitors. It is kind of a gimmicky, you know, thing that they have the chicken, it's kind of a crummy gimmick, but it's it's kind of a St. Louis landmark, like Ted Drew's and Emo's and Toasted Ravioli.
I want Ted Drew's. I want to try Ted Drew's.
It's awesome. You'll have to go when you're in St. Louis, go to Chippewa and get you some good Ted Drew's.
I was told that if you go to St. Louis, there's a sports bar chain that is very similar to one that has Al's out of Florida.
So for the purpose of, I don't know, I'm sure, I don't think there's any problem in saying Hooters.
Oh yeah. I just didn't want to get, you know, anybody upset. Like, oh my God, why are you talking about that?
I'm not at all concerned. There is a place, it's a chain, St. Louis Metro East. There's even one down in Carbondale, and, son of a gun. I've been there. I've actually been there more times than I've been to Hooters. I actually like the food a little bit better, but I can't think of the name of it now to save my life.
Now, one more question about the dirt cheap place.
Okay.
Is it a place that our friend Cobby would like?
Cobby would love going into dirt cheap because Cobby's a cheap bastard, and Cobby would like to go in there and get his grain alcohol on the cheap and then get some Swisher sweets to enjoy his evening.
I don't think Cobby smokes, but hey, just saying.
From what I know about Cobby,
he drinks everything out of a plastic bottle. Yes, I don't know if he smokes.
I'm just saying. So. Okay. Hold on. Let me, I got a Showmies.
Showmies. That's what it is. Yes.
It's, I guess how do I put this delicately for our female listenership or for those who are unfamiliar? So if Hooters has the obvious emphasis on, you know, the front top portion, Showmies, at least in their outfits, like they're, you know, I've been there in wintertime watching, you know, football and stuff, and they'll be in weather appropriate shirts, but Showmies likes to accentuate the hiney a little bit and show that off, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. All right. And again, I hope I was able to deliver that message without coming across as crass or inappropriate. But yeah, good times. I actually have a story. I don't know if I can share this. I'm going to share this story. It was several years ago.
He was going to make it a short night, everybody.
I was going to. And someday we'll talk some Husker football as well. But several years ago, I went on a Sunday, went with a buddy of mine down to the one in Carbondale. We met with some other friends of mine, and we watched, of all things, and you can, you know, roll your eyes or laugh or whatever, but it was a WWE pay-per-view, and it was in February, so it was the Elimination Chamber. And I was driving at the time in 01 Jeep Cherokee, and I was the driver, and I had, in my ultimate or infinite wisdom, decided I'm going to have the ribs and the wings at Showmies. And it was a very long hour-plus drive back as I could not wait to get out of the Jeep and get to a place that, you know, had indoor plumbing. If
two-ply, too?
Dude, it was, it was bad. So anyway, Nebraska went on the road this past Saturday and got a nice...
Bowel syndrome's the bowel syndrome. Okay.
I don't decide how these segues, you know, come to mind. They just do. But went on the road to Bloomington, the first time ever facing Indiana Hoosiers since Nebraska joined the Big Ten, and they came out with a slim win. I mean, it wasn't pretty. 27-22, if I remember the score accurately, sir. And I know injuries, you know, you can say what you want about the injuries and try not to make excuses, but for whatever reason, it just seemed like there was no offensive rhythm in the game. And I honestly, after watching the game, felt very fortunate that Nebraska got the win at all.
Yeah. I think Tommy was a little more hurt than we'd like to tell everybody he was. I think the offensive line tended to be a little more hurt than we like to tell everybody he was. But in the whole grand scheme of things, I thought the defense played really good. I thought Chris Jones had probably his best game of the year, and that's saying something because he's had pretty good games.
Mm-hmm. The coordination report card gave the defense its best grade of. I mean, they said it was
secondary.
No, I meant defense as a whole said it was probably the defense's best game of the year. Correct?
Yeah, rushing defense I think was really good. Save the one touchdown run to Redding, which honestly, it was a good play design.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this fake reverse. Remember, it was like a zone read fake reverse where Dedrick Young just got caught too far outside. He missed the run fit, and boom, he was gone. So that's fine. But
Redding's a quality back. I mean, it's not like you're giving up a big long play like that to the backup running back for University of Nebraska, Kearney. I mean, Redding, he's a good running back. I mean, it kind of seemed like he was due for a big play and was able to. It sucked that it happened against Nebraska, but he, you know, was able to get a little highlight reel material, if you will.
Well, let's think about this. Nebraska, what's your definition of throwing it good? I mean, Nebraska threw for 208. Tommy wasn't great, 10-26.
No, his completion percentage was down, and those two interceptions I thought were really off the hands of Cotton.
Yeah, the one he tried. If he hits Cotton in the chest, he probably catches it.
Yeah,
throws it up his head.
I mean, and then the other one was just a UGLY. It ain't got no alibi.
Yeah. The kicker I'm having here is, you know, a couple of Indiana guys were really chirping about this. You know, both Nebraska touchdowns were a result of food plays. I'll live with the first one, because Riley's catch was a fluke play. But if I remember right, that play finished on the. I'll look it up.
Well, I know what they're saying, but at the same time, who's to say that drive doesn't. You know, was that a third down play?
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Well, you do that, but what I'm saying is, who's to say
that was a second and 12 play?
Okay, so who's to say that they don't convert something on third down? I mean, and prolong the drive. I mean, you can do all that. You know, well, what if he doesn't? I mean, because we do that, we what if ourselves to death as Husker fans.
Let me say something about that drive, okay? So that was the second play of the drive. Okay, gotta remember something. The next two plays, Newbie went for nothing. And he tried to hit Morgan and missed him. The next play, they came on a blitz and hit Reimers on the cross. Reimers should have scored that play. Next play, Newbie goes in literally untouched.
Right.
Literally untouched. So don't tell me that play cost you touchdown. It was it a lucky play? Yeah. But guess what? That's when your defense should be shutting down 3 for 7. Okay. It's not a 4-point play unless your defense really kind of steps up there. And they didn't.
Like the way that fluke play, you know, it honestly cost them. Like the only way that I could think is, you know, Riley's on the ground. It's been deflected a couple times, and instead of him catching it, there's I'll say Stanley Morgan running down, and he just flips it up to Stanley Morgan, and Stanley Morgan runs into the end zone. That's a fluke play. They'd be like, okay, yeah, I'll give you that. That being, you know, but I still say, you know, if it's second and 12, I still say, and again, we don't know for sure that Nebraska would have prolonged that drive, but they got the, you know, they got the big play. But here's the thing: you can't look at that one play and say, God, now that's the play. That's the play. That's why we lost it. And again, we do this as Nebraska fans quite a bit. You know, going back to last year when we had so many close losses, you know, we could be like, you know, that Hail Mary against BYU, if we just defend the Hail Mary. Well, partially, but at the same time, what did we do in the 59 minutes and 45 seconds leading up to that put us in that point to be, you know, making it a one-score game, you know, that a Hail Mary would give them a win like that.
So what was the first Indiana play out of the next drive?
Yeah, I do not. I was fast-forwarding because I was trying to catch up as fast as I could, so I couldn't honestly tell you.
The first play after the kickoff.
That wasn't the pick six, I don't think.
That was the pick six.
That was the first play.
That was the first play. First and 10, Indiana 23-yard line after Williams got it back to the 23 off the kickoff.
Okay.
First play is the pick six. So now you've turned seven. You've turned 7-0 into – no, you've turned 10 – you've turned three. You could have had a 6-0. Okay. And now it's 17-0.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at it that way. Okay. The second touchdown, the Morgan one, I get their point. I get the point on the whole fluke thing because, yeah, three guys took themselves out, but guess what? And this kind of – this sets up something else here in a minute. I'll explain. Morgan was wide open on that play.
Yeah.
Morgan was wide open between three guys.
He ran right through them.
And all of a sudden, when everybody took each other out, it was gone. Nobody's catching them. So – you know, you were nickel that play, and you still let one of the only passing threat for Nebraska that day wide open. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, realistically, I mean, Riley and Reimers didn't have bad days per se, but I mean,
Brian Reimers had one catch. Brandon Riley had two catches. The long was 45. Stanley Morgan was the only one catching more than three passes for more than 40 yards.
What did Cotton do? Because Sam had a few catches.
Sam had 3 for 37.
Okay.
So Sam Cotton and Stanley Morgan were our only threats. If I remember right, they only threw one ball at Alonzo.
Yeah, correct. And that was the one that overthrew him just a bit.
That was the 9 route that he was open, but he overthrew him.
Yeah.
So.
Which that was a pretty play if that just doesn't get, you know, two steps out in front of him.
Let me, before we
want to say a couple things. I'm really liking Stanley Morgan. I mean, he's got this personality about him on the field it's a little bit infectious, you know, like he looks like he's just really having a lot of fun out there. And obviously it helps when you're 6-0, but that's one I'm really enjoying. What he's doing, both as you know, just a player and the productivity, but also the personality and the you know, the pictures. We've seen the pictures that David McGee's taken on the home games, and he's just, you know, number 8. He just looks like he's having a blast out there. That's one. And then two is Alonzo Moore when he's healthy. Man, I'm loving the way he's able to spread the you know, open up the field, get downfield, and be that big play threat. He's going to be a good one. I really think that he's got, you know, if he stays healthy, he's got next level potential.
Who's the leading receiver right now in Nebraska?
I think we had this conversation last week, and I think at the time, I think you said that it was Alonzo.
Right now, it's Stanley Morgan.
Okay.
Yes, 16 catches. Tied with Jordan Westerkamp for 228 yards. But Alonzo Moore still has the most yards. Because they won him by 88 yards.
Because of that big play capability.
Yep. So let's talk about the last drive.
Yeah.
Okay. So Indiana's had a couple of pixie sticks. They're all pumped up. And Nebraska could not run it. Nebraska straight could not run it all day.
You know, they were having problems. You know,
here's what
Ozigbo wasn't healthy. You know, losing David Neville very early on didn't help anything.
Here's what I'm going to say about that, though. Okay, ready?
Yep.
It was a 60-yard drive. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska had 92 yards of rushing before that drive. Okay. This is kind of like what happened against Illinois to a fault. Okay, because remember they had that 18 play grind out, churn the butter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they killed
going for a hell of high water.
10+ minutes of clock on that one. And
if all you can look at as an Indiana fan is wondering whether Terrell Newby's knee was down or not, and you're blaming that reason, don't blame that reason. Because number one, if you're blaming the officials for it, go look at the fucking penalty to break down.
Okay. Well, I mean,
you were +8 on the fucking penalties. Shut up.
But I mean,
okay,
but let me. I'm gonna devil's advocate this. Which?
Oh shit! Yeah, please.
If that's, you know, if roles are reversed, and that's Redding who's, you know, they've got the ball and they show the replay and, yeah, it looks like that knee was down, and Nebraska needed that ball to get, you know, something going to try to get a lead back. Would you be? I mean, you know where I'm going with this. Would you be as upset? I mean, they're obviously. I mean, they're fans. They're going to get worked up about that stuff.
You probably could be upset, but here's an idea. Stop Tommy Armstrong on 4th and 1 at midfield. When he drops the snap.
Yeah, that was bad.
Dropped that snap. And everybody freaked out. Then all of a sudden he magically pushed it through 2 yards forward. Okay. I kind of get it, but you know what's funny is that's the first 3rd and 4th down. There's only 2 3rd downs they face on that drive. The one before the 4th down snap, and then obviously the 3rd down inside the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then, you know what? Don't – on that drive and – that's where I come back to on the Morgan interception. It seemed like Indiana all of a sudden decided to play coverage on that final drive. To me, at least.
They were doing different things.
They took that extra guy out of the box, and it just kind of looked like Nebraska was just winning on numbers, which they hadn't done all day because it seemed like, you know, Indiana runs that little, you know, marquee 4-2-5, Charlie Strong, peso, nickel special. And they kept rolling the extra guy down, and all of a sudden they kept taking the extra guy out because it seemed like they were so worried about run pass option that they just rolled the guy out, and all of a sudden it just seemed better for Nebraska numbers wise to go. Because as hurt as Tanner Farmer and Dylan Utter were that day, you know, Utter was taken out by cart to the bus at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know that.
There was a few reports of that. What's the one guy that they've ran behind all year when they've needed it seems is between Utter and Farmer.
Yeah.
And that's where all the mashing yards came. Now, okay, I don't think Indiana played great on offense.
What were they doing? Was it just that other man in the coming down to help run support that helped them to the, you know, because like you said, Nebraska wasn't running the ball.
I asked Reuter about it. You know, Ryan Reuter, the guy who's doing X's and O for us.
Yeah. Like, Reuter, just barely even know.
Stop it. It just honestly seems like, you know, they got either they rolled the extra guy out of the box or they just got really conservative and didn't do run blitzing like they had before. Like thinking, hey, we don't have to run anything special. Our base will cover this. And it was almost right because the length of the drive, Nebraska only chip away. I mean, save the 2 long Newbie runs, the 13 and the 14-yarder. But, you know, it just, you know, everybody in Indiana's kept bragging how great that defense is. And I'm like, okay, they're good. And there's no doubt, you know, I may have undersold Indiana. Indiana offensively, pretty solid.
They got some hosses up front too. That, I mean, they granted, and I'm trying not to make excuses, and I'm trying not to undersell that this, you know, stuff, because any good promo guy will tell you, you know, if you run down an opponent, all you're doing, and then you come out and beat them, all you're doing is saying, yeah, I beat a, you know, crappy opponent. But what, I mean, what I saw from them is I saw a salty D line that for quite a, you know, a chunk of the game was able to get a lot of penetration into the offensive backfield for Nebraska and put Tommy on the run, probably, you know, in the non-design stuff, quite a bit more than he wanted to be.
Again, I think that's where you miss Ethan Carter.
Yeah.
You know, he's a sixth offensive lineman. He tends to walk a little better than Cotton does and Trey Foster, honestly. So,
and Foster had a nice,
I thought he had an okay game. I didn't think he was a great game.
I mean, he had that reception that, was it a reception or was it the, no, it wasn't the reception. It was the, where they waved off the intentional grounding because Tommy was running for his life and just chucked it. And Johnson just happened to show up in that area, made a diving attempt and saved a chunk of yards.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And too often though, I thought last Saturday that Tommy was running for his life.
Yeah, but that's just the way the line was set up. They play, plus they kind of took the whole, I don't know if you noticed, they took the whole Wyoming game plan.
Force them.
You know, just let's just send backers no matter what, but they tended to open, let the middle open.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you had somebody like Westerkamp available, they could have exploited the middle a little more.
They would have eaten him alive.
Oh, yeah. I think if Alonzo was a little more healthier, I think they would have, you know. I think the one kicker, though, is that, you know, they had the Wyoming played the 4-3 and Indiana played the 4-2, so you always had the little extra man in back, so that was kind of a rough one. But, you know, the crosses were there. I thought Linksurf could have probably called more screens. And then it seemed like it happened.
I would have liked to have seen a few more screens out to Newbie.
They kind of build on the screen game a little bit.
Newbie or Riley? I think Riley could have done well in the screen game.
Yeah,
Because he's got good speed.
I think they like odds a little more in the screen game, so I don't think they'll run it with Newbie too much.
Yeah, but Zigbo wasn't. He wasn't 100% on Saturday.
Yeah, well, then how about Trey Bryant then? You know,
jury's out, in my opinion.
Well, Wilbon? Did Wilbon even play?
I don't know if he got in on a series or not. I don't think he did.
Let's look at the participation report.
But
no, he did not. He's not on the participation report.
So I mean, that's, you know, I thought they could have with the Zigbo again, not at 100%. I thought they could have used the stable a little bit more, but I thought they leaned heavily on Newbie. And you know, for Newbie, you know, I this season we're seeing a lot more from Newbie than we have, but at the same time, it's because we've had to, you know, we haven't had the backs, you know, like we've had in the past. I get overall very pleased with how, you know, Newbie's played through six games this year. I mean, it's his senior year. He's trying to, you know, obviously help the team, but help himself to the next level, and may or may not happen, but he's shown improvement, and that's, you know, now, all we can ask for.
There's one thing I'll mention about the Indiana offense. They brought in that one kid, the quarterback.
Diamont. Xander Diamont.
He loves to talk shit, it looks like.
Looked like.
If you ever go to the Crimson Quarry site, crimsonquarry.com, or any SSB Nation site.
One of 316 or so.
Nine, 16, something like that. If you go over there, though, you will see that He is the gentleman that has the picture of the cigar in his mouth after they won the Oaken Bucket game a couple years ago, which is bad, but whatever. But
now, there's nothing wrong with a good cigar.
Now, I thought that he looked pretty good.
He reminded me a lot of Taylor Martinez.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, not a strong thrower, but will do some things with his legs that will, you know, make you stay alert.
You know, it's funny is, you know, when they had the little package in him, they ran zone read 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. And then Nebraska called
on the zone read. He kept it 80% of the time, and he went left of that 80% of the time, 90% of the time. So he kind of knew what he was doing. Now,
Hold on. Now we're up to 260%, and I'm confused.
Well, 55% of the time it works every time.
Yeah, but 63% of statistics you find on the internet are false.
Well, only if you give 110%.
That's one of my high school athletics awards. Thank you. 110%. That and most improved and Mr. Motivation.
So he does all this, right?
I see how you glossed over that one. Fine, be that way.
Because no one cares. Anyway.
Oh, snap. Cool. If you care that I was Mr. Motivation senior year of high school baseball, let me know in the comments. They'll care.
That's why he's selling cars now, everybody. Anyway.
That's motivating. Motivated buyers is what I need.
He comes in.
You're bound and determined to get this point across, despite me.
Because you're the one who said you wanted to go to bed early.
Oh, man, now you make it look like I'm soft.
Yes, anyway. But follow me here.
Okay.
So he comes
in.
He runs the ball 8 times.
Mostly to the left.
Yeah, 31 yards. Not terrible. I wouldn't say terrible. I mean, compared to what everybody else had, you know, the only other guy that had a bunch of yards rushing for Indiana was Redding.
True.
You know, so 8 carries, 31 yards. Longest was 9. Efficient, not great. Comes in. You can tell he can't really throw the ball too well. Okay.
And the announcers helped us with that as well. They made that known, like, not the best thrower.
But
that'd be Lego.
You go to the site, you go to the end of site, and they are screaming. Why is this piece of they're not going to call him a piece of shit, but they may as well. Why is this goddamn guy in the game and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, so what you're saying is they had a little overreaction on their end?
No, they don't even know why he's on the roster, much less playing the game.
Well,
Kevin Wilson's a freaking moron. And I'm like, it helped you.
I mean,
I could see your point on throwing. Yeah, I get your point on that. I don't think Legau is a ton better, but
I was just wanting somebody to say to him, you know, in the announcement. And this is where, had I been doing broadcasting for this game, I would have had some fun because at some point I would have said Lego my ego.
God, you're terrible. Would you? This is what happens when somebody gets over-caffeinated and the other one needs it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you're all sorts of wound up, and I'm just chilling.
But you know what's funny is they made this big deal about Mark Banker stealing signs. You know, Mark Banker being pissed off that signs get stolen.
How about that NU Equipment Twitter account? All right. Apparently, only I thought that was funny.
Yes, it does make one of you that thought it was funny. Enlighten me.
Did you not see it? Like they
Hi, my name is Patton. Hi, here's your play call.
Yeah, I mean they had the sign boards or something they put on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Never mind.
I get it, but it's like those play boards like that.
I'm not a fan of them.
It can't be anything. I mean, what do you get out of that?
I think they're a distraction more than anything. You know, like not a distraction, but a decoy.
Probably both, actually.
Fair enough.
I would say both. So we made this whole big thing, and You know, the whole Indiana Phil slide. Look, I said it last week. They like to beat up on teams that weren't great enough offensively. Did they do a good job against Nebraska? Yeah. Was Nebraska injured? Yes. If you had full, if you had Carter, if you had Westerkamp, and Tommy Armstrong's 90 to 100%, it's probably not that close.
What?
It's really not.
I mean, let's get serious now, because if you're
dumb enough to throw on Chris Jones. By the way, what was the last game Nebraska played that Chris Jones didn't start at cornerback?
Did not start.
Correct.
Iowa?
No.
I mean, I don't know.
Purdue.
Oh, okay.
The last game that Daniel Davies started last year was against Purdue. Mm. Since Chris Jones has been in the starting lineup, opposite Kalu, they're 9-1. Okay. And on the loss, C.J. Beathard threw for 87 yards. More play calling than anything, we'll give you that, but think about that.
Let's talk about – we've talked quite a bit about the past. Let's talk about the future. The other Big Ten team from Indiana is coming up this weekend as Purdue heads to Lincoln. And then
with
an interim coach. And then we have – you know, the murderer's row back-to-back weeks in Wisconsin and Ohio State.
Yeah. You know what? I get your point. Worry about Purdue. Because what happened last year gives you no reason to look past them.
Sure.
No reason to look past them.
So how, I mean, let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Nebraska's performance this past Saturday against Indiana?
7.5.
Really?
I think the offense really kind of – I don't think the offense was – I think this is probably the worst offensive game they had all year.
And so you're still giving them a 7.5?
I think the defense was just pretty good.
Okay.
Defense got you six.
Do we want to talk about special teams?
I think the only problem is punt coverage.
I would say that. I mean, Drew Brown's consistent. I mean, he's
Drew Brown's consistent, and
of course he's not getting a lot of field goal opportunities either. I mean, for the most part, you know, it's through the first five games or something, he only had 3 field goals,
yeah,
or 3 attempts or something like that. I'm trying not to be too critical of, you know, the special teams or the punt team based on, you know, the tragedy that happened over the summer, which, I mean, should they be related? No, I mean,
none of this is Lightborn's fault.
No. Some of his kicks on Saturday were not really great.
Well, I'll live with that because, you know, number one, the block that happened, 4-on-3. You saw it out of the back of the end zone. You know, that's the second time this year. This falls on Bruce Reed. This falls on Bruce Reed clear as day. It's, you know, that's the second block this year where they've come right in the middle, put 4-on-3 on the front blockers, and the one guy that got missed out of the four blocked the punt. That falls on the splits up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cause
I don't get how Nebraska doesn't have a tight formation down on the goal line. Not even so much a tight formation, but there are splits on that formation between center and guard that would make Mike Leach wonder what's going on.
It doesn't make any sense. You know, like you said, when you were almost punting out of your end zone, I would have 9 guys on the line ready to block, because that's dangerous territory, and we saw Nebraska get burned by it. We'll even go 7, and then that way you can have two gunners, you know, going down. I don't know. I just think that from a, what's the word I'm looking for, from a scheme standpoint, that one didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
But I digress.
But, you know, the punt return thing, I kind of give it away because, you know, if you think they're going to fake it, I'd rather you plan for the fake and then deal with it then than not playing for the fake and getting look stupid.
True.
Okay. I'll live with that. But I said this on the radio. I said this on my radio spot. There's a way you have to get the morning personnel more confident on the football field. Okay.
I would have thought that confidence would have come from that Oregon game at where he got essentially interfered with on the catch and still got 75 yards downfield or something like that. So.
I think so, but you also got to remember something. It's also got to be where, you know, he's got to feel comfortable in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing they really haven't done is gotten the offense this year. I mean, I'll look up the touches he has. But they have not, you know, the whole green scheme of things outside of a punt return. And he's catching the ball. It's not like he's not catching the ball.
True. Okay.
He has 6 carries.
On the jet sweep.
And he has 6 receptions.
And through 6 games, that's...
It's 2 touches a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I know. I wasn't going to break down the math. I mean, I figure the math kind of spoke for itself. I was going to say that for an athlete of his capability with the game-changing, like I said, ability or such that he has, I would say that was, you know, you got to, like you said, just plain and simple, you just got to find a way to get him the ball a little bit more. Maybe just go back to the screens, you know, and get him involved in the screen game.
It's not that he's doing a lot too, because, you know, he has 6 carries for a net of 2 yards. Okay, gain 15, loss 13. He has 61 yards in passing. He has 100 yards in punt returns. He's only averaging 28 yards a game. You want to compare that. Trey Bryant's doing almost double that. He's at 47 yards a game.
Wow.
Not almost double, but 85, 90% more.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting more out of a true freshman than a third-year guy. Granted, Trey didn't have his knee completely destroyed stepping on a sprinkler head in West Lafayette in the biggest dump stadium in the conference, but it is what it is.
Yeah. But, hey, now the Boilermakers get to – come to our happy place.
So here's a question I have.
I have an answer.
How much gets unleashed against Nebraska that Daryl Hazel didn't allow?
I see what you're saying. I mean,
I don't think defensively they change.
Are you thinking of something potentially like the Ed Orgeron syndrome, where after Les Miles got fired and they just came out and just beat the hell out of their opponent that week, which may have been, I think, Missouri.
But at the same time, I'm not going to pull any punches. Ross Ellis is a shit for defensive coordinator.
Which, I mean, I think most Nebraska fans would agree with you. Here's what I think. I don't think Purdue has the talent of an LSU, and I think Nebraska is much better than Mizzou. So I'm not anticipating one of those, you know, scenarios where, you know, we have to really worry about what they've got, you know, going on. I'm not real concerned about the Boilermakers. I probably should be, but I'm not.
You know, the first thing that makes me happy is Riker Fife's not starting.
That always helps. Sorry, Grand Island.
DeMornay should not tear his knee up.
No, home field. Field turf.
Alonzo Moore last year didn't play. Chongo Condolo started his last game ever last year. You know what the funny thing about Chongo is?
Tell me.
Purdue had 9 tackles for loss that game. 6 of them came through Chongo.
And we liked Chongo so much.
Purdue scored 28 points, remember, on 4 scoring drives. A grand total of 60-ish yards.
You got to remember, I didn't ever actually watch that Purdue game from last year.
Good job.
I don't remember what I was doing, why I missed it, but I believe it was you who said, don't watch it.
I took the hit. I took the heater for you.
So,
I don't think defensively they're much going to be much better. You know, like I said,
yeah, Russell's
Russell's as a DC. You know, no, it doesn't do it for me. Maybe I'm a dick, but
maybe I'm amazed by the way you. Okay, never mind.
I'm sorry if I pissed you off, Russell's family, if you listen to this, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Hey, you know, if you're Ross L's family and you're listening to this and you are
offended, why are you listening to this?
Go listen to the Hammer and Rails.
So, yeah, Hammer and Rails is all right.
Yeah, they seem like they're good people. No complaint. Let me ask you, because we touched on it last week. Westerkamp and Carter, their ability, or not, that I don't say their ability, but their probability, I guess, that they return for Purdue. What now? Granted, as we record this, it's Tuesday, so we do have a few more days to go before, you know, I'm sure any final word would be given.
I would rather have Seatham back.
Okay.
It's been shown that Nebraska can live without Westerkamp. It's not like you don't like to, but you can do it.
Now let me ask you this:
Seatham matters a lot more.
I'm going to ask you a question, and kind of get your interpretation on it. Westerkamp had, I almost called him Westercatch just out of habit. He has a reception in how many consecutive games
that he's played?
Is it every game that he's played?
I can't remember offhand. I don't know if they're going to include it in the notes. I want to say like 34.
Okay. Now, does that, I mean, since he missed the game, does that start over, or?
I think he's played in.
Okay.
I think. Let me double.
That's a topic my buddy Josh and I were, I was like, you know, I think it's games, you know, played in. Now the benefit is you can have these guys dress because it's a home game. You can have them dress even if you don't play them. You know, might have them as a safety valve. I like the idea of sometime in the third quarter getting them just a series or two, a possession. That way, you know, you got to go to Camp Randall next week. You know, get some of it. You know,
maybe I'm really weird, but I don't think Wisconsin's that good.
Well, I mean, look what
on offense, at least on offense.
I watched more of that Whiskey Ohio State game than I probably should have. At some point I could have turned it off and watched something that was mutually agreed upon between my wife and myself.
Why would you do that?
Happy wife, happy life.
Said you.
We're working on it still. things are fine in the Mahochko household, folks. Don't worry about that.
I want to look this up real quick.
But Hornibrook, and I think Herb Street kept calling him Hornibrook, and I'm like, is it Hornibrook? Is it a little softer sounding between the two main? anyway, that's what he kept calling it, Hornibrook. I'm like, maybe it's Hornibrook? Have we asked that question? But he's just got, I mean, his accuracy is good, but man, I don't know, maybe it's because he's a southpaw, but he has a god-awful throwing motion. Like, it pains me to watch.
Second half.
And it seems like that ball was in the air a lot. I mean, like didn't have any zip on it. Like, it's a well-placed ball, accurate, but it just seems like it floats in there.
Second half for Wisconsin, okay? They got 137 yards. Wait, I'm trying to look. Yeah. 66 rushing, 71 passing. They were 7-13 in the second half.
What was the final score in that game?
30-23 overtime. They tied at 23. Ohio State got the TD and Wisconsin was 4 down.
I mean, so let's honestly, they played Michigan and lost by a score. and they played the number two team in the country and lost by a score in overtime. I mean, you say they're, you don't think they're as good as...
Now, their defense? Ooh. It ain't bad.
Yeah, but, I mean, you say that as a team, that they're not as good as people think. I honestly, you could have... I'm gonna say this, and I can't believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. You could have Alabama 1. Honestly, I think that you could have Ohio State 2, Clemson, and then Michigan. And Wisconsin, I mean, despite the fact that they're two losses are to two top five teams, and they're by a combined 7 points, one of them going to overtime, you could make a case that Wisconsin's a top five team.
Yeah, I don't think they get more credit for the LSU loss. The LSU win, I mean. I don't think they get that much credit on that.
I think that the two losses carry more weight.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If some butts can't eat nuts, I mean, you're still have two losses. You know, and they got who they're playing this weekend?
I don't know.
They are...
Minnesota?
They're in Iowa City.
Okay.
Which is pretty much a West elimination game right there. Because if Iowa loses, they're two down in the division, and they're probably not getting that back.
And if Wisconsin loses,
they have three losses, all in division, all in the conference.
Right, but not division.
Because then Iowa still has to go host Michigan and go to Penn State.
Penn State's salty. I mean.
They're better now than we thought they'd be, but they're going to get – Penn State's going where they got to play Ohio State this weekend.
Yeah.
That's the host of Ohio State this weekend. So, it'll be interesting to see. Now, I'll say this about Iowa. Their offense is not great. I mean, they're pretty good against Northwestern. But I think they're getting fortunate in that, you know, they're not really getting everybody's best game. You know,
I really hope that.
Let's look at it this way, because Minnesota played them with a hurt Leitner. It's 14-7. Rutgers doesn't count because whatever, you know. Purdue, they kicked the hell out of Purdue for about 40 minutes, and all of a sudden that game got closer than they really wanted it to be. Okay. Hazel firing or not. I do think the reason Hazel got fired is because, hey, let's take a timeout to take a knee. You know?
See, I didn't follow all that.
Yeah, they took a timeout at the end of the first half to take a knee. So Purdue, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm not going to put a score in yet, but I'm going to say Nebraska wins. They win by, I'm going to say, 4 scores.
You haven't. What about 7 years ago?
Nope, not yet. But good, no. good history pull there, sir.
Our forefathers didn't
do it. 4 score and 7 years ago.
I think Purdue's going to come out a little more spunkier than normal.
But how long until Nebraska just, you know, not literally, but figuratively punches them in the mouth and slaps them around and puts them in their place?
I think Nebraska can handle the little first quarter surge of, hey, new coach, fired up, we're going to be different, everything's going to be different. Yeah, la, la, la. Get past a little surge and Nebraska's ahead, then, you know, they can just kind of beat them down a little on offense, run the ball on offense. I still think Nebraska should run the regular offense, you know, not just 40, you know, it's not newbie left guard, newbie right guard, newbie left guard, newbie right guard. Run your offense. But then I think as soon as Nebraska gets up, but comfortably enough, fourth quarter, put in Fife, put in the twos, put in Wilbon, put in Trey Bryant, put in, the twos on wide receiver.
I think Riker Fife needs, to get in there against Purdue and just, well, I mean, like you said, in the fourth quarter and just to, I think maybe he's not, you know, maybe he's got the you know, short-term memory of a relief pitcher or something like that. But, you know, just, you know, get get last year's performance out of his memory by coming in and doing something. It doesn't have to be spectacular, but just doing something positive against them this year.
Now, one more thing I'm going to mention on DPE, on Personnel.
Yes.
He's got little touches, right?
Yes.
He's got all those little touches, 6-20, you know, 12 touches in six games.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's ahead of Alonzo Moore on the depth chart at the Z.
Interesting.
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's interesting to me because, you know, man, is Alonzo more hurt than we think?
Yeah, didn't look like it. I mean, like we talked about earlier with that long pass, you know, the long target to him. I mean, he had good speed. I don't think he was coming up gimpy. It's just, you know, just Tommy's got a Tommy gun. I mean, that's the joke, right? It's Tommy arm so strong, he just
that's
chucked
the
that
joke.
Ball. It's a funny joke.
Funny how?
All right, kids. We're wrapping up another Five Heart podcast. Brian,
that's all you need. I messed it up, didn't I?
You did.
Meh.
I was going to throw it to you for your final thoughts.
I don't think.
No thanks.
No, I said I don't think.
Okay. No final thoughts from Brian. I've already stated my case, Nebraska by 4 scores, and we'll move on to we'll one week at a time. I'm phonetically spelling the World Wide Web.
Dubstep.
Okay. Now I gotta go. I gotta go and take a dirty. I gotta go take a shower because I feel dirty with dubstep talk. I'm Greg Mahochko. He's Brian Toll. This is the Five Heart Podcast on Coronation.com and JitteryMonkey.com. The Five Heart Podcast reminding you the Five Heart is all the heart you need.
Bye bye.
This has been a production of Coronation.com. For more, like Coronation on Facebook. Follow Coronation on Twitter and bookmark coronation.com in your favorite browser.